We read God's word in Psalm 67 to the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm or song. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. I added another scripture reading, and that is from Romans chapter 7. Our New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 7. We read the verses 14 through 25. Romans chapter 7. We start to read at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for what I would that do I not, but what I hate that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with a mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In this week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, we wish to reflect on verse 24 from Romans 7, which is the text for the sermon. Romans 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death so far? Beloved congregation, we just read Psalm 67, and therein the petition is heard that the psalmist requests God for his mercy and to bless and to cause his face to shine upon him. And that's the ongoing prayer of God's church. For we need his blessing in a week of preparation. How blessed to have God's mercy become revealed to us and to have his face shine upon us. And the Apostle Paul also needed this. He also needed God's blessing. He also knew that without the Lord Jesus Christ, his Master, he could do nothing. He needed deliverance, God's nearness. And we find that in the text when the Apostle Paul says here, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he goes on to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. because his hopes are upon God's mercy and God's blessing, and that God's face would shine upon him. Yes, the Apostle Paul needed God's blessing, and that's what he is desirous for, to be strengthened. That's what he asked the churches of the New Testament, where he visited so often, to pray for him, to lift him up in prayer, because he needed God's grace that he could open his mouth and speak as he is called to speak the Word of God. And we also are fully dependent upon God's blessing, upon God's mercy, and that his face would shine upon us. Really, we can not do without that. And that's what the Apostle Paul also needs. Because we read in this text that he is complaining. Now, quite a few people complain nowadays. They complain about temporal loss. They complain about lack of money. They complain about a cross they are bearing, or about damage that was inflicted to them. They complain about a sickness or about pain, and it can be indeed very difficult to have to bear pain. There are people who bear pain even in church while they are sitting and watching and listening, that they are resisting the pain in their body, but they want to be in church. There are people who at night can't sleep because of pain in their body. And that is a difficult thing. And you and I, we can easily complain about that. And the Apostle Paul went through much suffering. But it's remarkable with the Apostle that he never complained about his suffering. That he never complained about the fact that he was stoned. He did make mention of that in 2 Corinthians, but he doesn't complain about it. He knows that he has to suffer much for the name of the Lord Jesus. And even after he was stoned, he got up, went back into the city of Lystra, and the next day he went on a hike of around 60 miles, if I'm not mistaken, to go to the next city after he was stoned. And he never complained. When later on at Philippi he was cast into prison, he didn't complain. He prayed to the Lord and he sang praises unto the Lord in the night together there with Silas. He didn't complain about his shipwrecks or that he was beaten 5 times with 39 stripes, lashes in the synagogue. He could have said, "I'm a Roman," and then they were not allowed to touch him, but he didn't do that. He let himself be beaten 5 times, 39 lashes. It could kill a man. But why did he bear all that? Because if he would say, "I'm a Roman citizen," he would be banished from the synagogue and could never have any more contact with the people of the synagogue, with the Jews. And he wanted to preach the gospel to the Jews. That's why he bore that chastisement that a synagogue would inflict upon him, because he preached Jesus. But he would never renounce that fact he was Jew. He would never appeal to the Roman authority. So he suffered incredibly much, but he never complained. And here in Romans 7, we hear him complaining. What do you and I complain about? We complain about difficulties and distress and what have you. But Paul complained about the body of death within him. And that's something we should complain about. Because the biggest problem in our life, it's not our sickness or whatever we have, although it may be very difficult. But the biggest problem we have is our sin. And especially in a week of preparation, you consider your sin. You have to humble yourself because of that. And we are to loathe ourselves because of our sins and to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Romans 7, Paul complains, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" We consider here Paul's complaint. And this reveals in the first place death, in the second place danger, in the third place deliverance. Paul's complaint, this reveals to us death, danger, and deliverance. So the Apostle Paul speaks here about his body of death. He means thereby the inclination that he has to commit sin. That's for him death. He hates it. He complains in verse 14 that he is carnal, fleshly, sold under sin. And in verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not." I don't want to do it. For what I would want to do, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. Sin lives in Paul. And that's the cause of misery, of alienation from God. He has a deep longing to live according to God's will, but he cannot do that. In verse 23, "I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Paul refers to this body of death himself. He calls a natural corruption within man a body. That's what he's talking about. The natural, sinful inclinations. It's a body. And a body has members. And so the body of death also has members, evil members. Man's understanding is darkened. Man's will is perverted. Man's affections and longings are disordered. The members of our physical body are ready instruments of unrighteousness. And if a person is not yet born again, the natural corruption is called darkness. He walks in darkness. Ephesians 3, verse 5, verse 8. "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So here we see the difference between someone who is born again and someone who is not yet born again. One who is not yet regenerated by the Spirit of God is, as it were, in a dark night. He is in darkness. He has no light. But those who are born again are in the light. But it's not yet the full light. It's something like light at early daybreak. There's still the darkness, the twilight of the night, and there is light. It's like darkness and light mixed together. But no longer is there only darkness. Light is breaking through the darkness. That's someone who is born again. And there's nothing more abominable in the sight of God than an unregenerated sinner. For there's nothing in the world more contrary to God's will than a person who is not born again. He is lost. He is an abomination. And where the Lord had first planted his own image, he now sees the image of the devil. These people are children of the devil. They are in every whit opposed to God. That's someone who is not born again. He's a stranger to God. He is lost. He is on his way to eternal outer darkness. The natural corruption is also called a body. Galatians 5:17 calls it flesh. It's flesh. It's a body. It hangs upon unregenerated people. Just like our flesh hangs on our bones, well, likewise sin hangs upon us, but especially an unregenerated person, he is only sin in the sight of God. And a person who is born again, who lives in that twilight of darkness and light, sin also cleaves to him. And that gives the deepest sorrow in life of a child of God. I am not who I should be. It's like the spotted skin of a leopard. He cannot undo his spots. And likewise, we cannot undo sin. We need God's grace. The natural corruption is called a body of death. It works death. It is an abomination in God's sight. The Lord speaks of unregenerate men in Romans 3:23 that their throat is an open sepulcher. Corrupt and evil communications flow from their throat. And if this sin is not stopped, and if the inclination is not changed, it will work out death. In paradise, it used to be with Adam and Eve that their bodies were beautiful, but when they had fallen into sin, they were ashamed of their bodies. Such is the deadly effect of sin. It works shame. It's a body of death because it brings forth deadly sins. David saw that clearly in Psalm 51. He said, I was born in iniquity. And in Romans 8, verse 13, it says, if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And Hebrews 9:27 tells that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. Why the judgment? Because of sin. Every man is on his way to that awesome moment. Because through sin there's death. There's temporary death, mortality, sickness. There's also spiritual death, in the fact that a person is inclined to all wickedness. And there's also eternal death, eternal damnation. And that's why the apostle speaks here about this body of death that he carries along with himself. And this body of death must be put to death. It's either that this body of death is started to be put to death in this life, or it will put us into everlasting death. It's either this body of death will die, or we will die. And here we see the wonderful loving kindness and the unspeakable patience and long suffering of God, that He invites such people as we are to repentance and salvation. He gives us all time of grace, time in which we may call upon the name of the Lord, time in which we may complain about the one thing for which we should complain, our body of death. The Lord loves to hear such complaints. The Lord loves to hear people who realize they cannot stand before a righteous God and they need the Lord Jesus to intervene in their lives. And we are now called and invited to flee to the triune God. for he is able and willing to deliver and to save. He invites us to receive faith, to receive repentance, as they are gifts worked by the Lord Jesus. And we are invited to receive salvation. Therefore, it's the height of foolishness to postpone repentance, to leave this church building and to say, well, later on, yes, later on I should get more serious, really, about salvation. That's foolish, because you don't know what will happen tomorrow, and it's about your everlasting destiny, and therefore we all need this repentance. Paul needed it. How much more do we need it? If you're still living without God, your body is controlling your life, and it's a body of death. It tells you to think about yourself and to do what you like. It tells you to ignore God and His Word, and it will lead you to everlasting death. Scripture is very firm about that. Scripture uses, by inspiration of God's Spirit, strong language. Those people who are not born again are called serpents and vipers in Matthew 23, verse 33. They are called lions, Psalm 10, verse 9. They are called ravening wolves, wolves which will tear apart, Matthew 7, 15. That's how man is who is not born again. In Psalm 80, they are called swine. They are the young foxes that spoil that which is good. They have the devil to their father, John 8, 44. The poison of snakes is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's how Scripture describes people who are unregenerate. Potiphar's wife was unregenerate, and she wanted to do evil things with Joseph. She wanted to seduce Joseph. She was unregenerate. She was wicked. And Joseph, exposed to these allurements, he felt the body of death in him. And the body of death said also to Joseph, go ahead. And what did Joseph do? He ran away. Because he knew that sin is an ugly monster. So he ran away from Potiphar's wife, because he knew the body, the works of the body of death will lead to misery and to everlasting death. And all people, everyone will sooner or later realize that they have a body of death. But for those who are not born again, it will be clear that it's too late. And then their eyes will be open for the implications of having committed so much sin and living without Christ. Do you recognize that you have a body of death within you? Does this alarm you? Have you learned to grieve because of this? Have you learned to complain because of this? Do you recognize this complaint of the Apostle Paul in your own life? Has sin become the greatest problem for you in your life? Sin that lies at the door? In a week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, we are called to humble ourselves. Because of this body of death. But there's also a danger. Paul's complaint speaks about death, speaks also about danger. Because every human being is in great danger. That's the danger of everlasting death. The body of death forms a great danger. And we have to be alert and careful and watchful. And therefore we need God's Holy Spirit to lead us to repentance, to enlighten our minds, that in the first place we see and recognize this body of death. Because in spiritual life, the first thing the Lord does is give light. And then you start to see who you are. And you complain about yourself to the Lord, not so much to people. You don't have to complain to people about how bad you are, but do it to the Lord, for He can help you. You have to be alert, because it's a great danger. It happened in India that whenever there would be a tiger close by a village, and it would be a man-eating tiger, and the villagers knew this, and certain casualties had occurred, well, that village would band themselves together, arm themselves, and they would hunt out this tiger and kill it. Well, we have within us a very dangerous enemy, a body of death. And what do we do with it? Do we rally against it? Do we declare war against our corrupt flesh? And we all need to be engaged in this warfare. Let us presume that the Apostle Paul was one of the best and most devoted Christians of his day, and yet he complains about the body of death. We may say that the best of God's children still have to complain about indwelling sin. As long as they remain in this life, they always will have something within them that causes friction, that goes against the Lord. There's something they must mortify through the Holy Spirit. We can use an example of a city. It's besieged by an enemy. And the enemy is outside the city walls and trying to penetrate those walls. But imagine that there would be inside the city traitors who are trying to usher the enemy inside the city. Well, how should the inhabitants of that city be alert against those traitors? And likewise, a child of God has within himself traitors who are aligning themselves with the enemy, the devil. The devil is around us. He has an ally within us. So we need to be alert to resist the inclinations of our flesh. In 1 Peter 4, verse 18, Scripture says, "If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" The righteous have so much to contend with, to against indwelling sin. They have to fight against it, and they will lose a battle, but they will not lose the war, because the Lord is with them to strengthen them. But they have to be vigilant and alert and watchful, lest they call down misery upon their lives. Yes, also a child of God. And so, when you know grace in your life, realize that still the devil and your own flesh are combined together to bring you into perdition. There's a kingdom of darkness opposed to you. You can be led into gross sins. David was led into gross sins. So you need to be watchful. David at that time was not watchful. He regretted it his lifelong. You can also be led by these enemies into presumption, that you think everything is well with you. You see no sin, only a few minor, small sins, And you tell yourself, I'm no thief, I'm no drunkard, and I go to church, and, well, why should I not enter into heaven? Many people reason like this. But they fail to see that there's an enemy within them. And they need to be at war with this body of death within them. You need to be united to Christ and to live in communion with Him. And then you recognize how abominable your flesh is and your sinful inclinations are before God. If a sinner is renewed by God's Spirit, you will recognize this enemy and you will fight against it and you learn to hate it. And there's a growth in these matters. But if you are not renewed by the Spirit of God, then you don't see this enemy. And you think quite good about yourself. And you will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And therefore you are called to flee to Christ. If you don't recognize this complaint in your life, flee to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask the Lord Jesus to open your eyes to see you. Grant me eyesight, O Lord. The blind men would ask the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus never turned them away. Ask the Lord that you would be able to see who you really are and that you would learn to see who Christ is. And when you know this grace of the Lord Jesus in your heart, strive to be humble. How do you do that? By recognizing who you really are in yourself. That everything the Lord has given you is grace. And still there's so much indwelling sin. There's much reason for humility. There's nothing to boast about. It's all God's free gift. And yet there is sin within us. Let the humility be within us. Imagine a criminal who is to be executed and he is proud and arrogant. That's horrible. Let there be humility within us because of the sins we commit. If Abraham had to say of himself, I am but dust and ashes, how should we then not humble ourselves before the Lord, every one of us? And maybe your condition is that you are troubled because you see this war within you and you see that you are not who you should be. And then it can be that you nearly despair of yourself. And you wonder, would there be grace for a sinner like me? But realize this perception you have of yourself is worked by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't lead to despair. Your flesh would like to bring you to despair. The devil would like to bring you to despair. But do not despair, but flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And lay your case before Him. And at the same time, you will have grief that you don't grieve more about your sins. But you know, this is the evidence of the working of God's Spirit. Do not be discouraged. But lay your case continually before the Lord. Because the Lord desires to see you, afflicted one, poor one, miserable one. The Lord desires to see you who grieve about what lives within you, who long for Christ to be honored in your life. The Lord desires you to be at His supper coming Lord's Day. Because the Lord's supper is not for the proud, It's not for the ones who are so filled with good works. It's not for the ones who so easily can speak about conversion and having been converted, but it's for the ones who complain that they see so much signs of impenitence within them, and they grieve because of that. And for such people, the Lord has instituted His Supper. But then there's also deliverance. Because we all need deliverance from this body of death which is in us. And this is what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. It's about this glorious deliverance. For He shall save His people from their sins. And that's the gospel clarion call. There is deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ. This deliverance is needed when this body of death is still in control. When you are unregenerate, you need to be delivered. And therefore, again, flee to this Savior. Because God's image in you has become deformed. That's a terrible thing. And now you cannot fulfill the calling God has given to you. You are rebelling against the Lord. You need deliverance. And this Savior can give you full deliverance. Some people think it's strange that the text speaks about grief, sorrow, because Paul was a child of God. And when they see a child of God humbled and grieving for sin, they don't understand it. They are God's children, God's people. And the Lord Jesus came and He died for their sins and He paid the price of sin and their sins are forgiven. What are they grieving about? God is merciful. The Lord Jesus died on the cross, is risen again, earned a full salvation, but then they hear Paul crying because of indwelling sin, and they see God's children complaining about sin within them. People can be amazed at that. But that's because these people do not recognize their own heart. They are still blinded. They live by a reasoning of forgiveness of sins. But there's no love to the Lord. If there's love to the Lord, there will be grief also that I do not love Him as I should. Because especially a child of God will realize that he is sinning against a loving Father in heaven. He has been so good to me, and I cannot honor him as I should. That gives the deepest grief. And therefore, when you have this grief, and when you see that you are not who you should be, realize this is the light of God's Spirit shed in your heart that shows there's life within. A wound that has dead flesh does not hurt, but a wound that has living flesh in it, that hurts. So a body that has the life of God's Spirit within it, it will hurt. Because it sees there's so much still against the Lord. Because when the Lord pours out His Spirit, then you feel and see your unworthiness. But be comforted. It's a sign there's spiritual life within you. Not that you can rest in that condition, that you're glad that you have grief. No, there can't be. But don't despair. Don't think it's nothing. Don't think the Lord has forsaken you. But strive to live close to this Savior. that he would clothe you with a spiritual armor, and that with all prayer and supplication you would continue your path, being alert and vigilant against the slightest uprising of certain sins in your life. The Lord will teach you and lead you. He will lead you into sanctification, and he will cause you to see the value of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will make you free, because then sin will not have dominion over you. You're no longer a slave to sin. The Apostle Paul was not a slave to sin. He was not in darkness, but the light of the Lord Jesus had entered his life. And he had now become a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He used to be a slave of sin, but the Lord entered his life. It changed in him. And that's how it is in the life of a child of God. Sin does not have dominion over him in the sense that he is a slave. No, he's been set free. He walks in the liberty of the children of God. But at the same time, that battle rages. But the fact that it's a battle shows that he's not a slave. Because if there's no battle, then the evil one just steamrolls over such a person. And there's no resistance. They listen to what the devil and their flesh want them to do. But when the Lord has given you spiritual life, there is this change. Because if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There's deliverance. And that deliverance starts now in this life. Deliverance that you're no longer a slave, no longer under the dominion. But it's also deliverance because acquitted from punishment. You are no longer then under God's wrath. Your sins are no longer being remembered. The grief will remain that you do not do what you would like to do, but that's the flip side of love. Where there is love, there will be grief. But your sins are forgiven. And that's why Paul says in the next verse, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the comfort for complaining Paul. I thank God through Jesus Christ. God will gain the victory in my life through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a lost war. The Lord will renew me totally. But there's not thanks to him. It's thanks to God. There's nothing in him whereby he can be delivered. It's like King Jehoshaphat, who at a certain occasion was surrounded by enemies, and he cried out, there's no strength in us, O Lord, to fight against these enemies. And that's what one who knows grace will say, there's no strength in me to fight against these enemies. And so they look to the Lord to give strength. It's like those seafarers, those sailors in Psalm 107. They're in the midst of a storm and the waves go up and the boat goes up and it goes, plunges down in the depths and they can't do anything. They cry to the Lord to save them, to bring them into the safe harbor. God has to intervene. And so it is in the life of a child of God. And that's the secret of the Apostle Paul. He runs to Christ. And people who know this battle will continually run to Christ. Do you do that? Do you run to Christ? It's for such people that the Lord has instituted his supper. They have grief, and therefore they run to Christ. To be separated from the Lord Jesus would be for them the most horrific thought. and they need Him. They flee to Him. And therefore at the supper they may eat and drink the signs of His bread, of His body and blood. And there will be a spiritual communion with the real body and blood of Christ through the Holy Spirit. And they look forward to that. They long to be there because they say, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's deliverance. But why does the Lord not immediately deliver His people from all indwelling sin? Can the Lord not do that? Yes, the Lord can do that. But then you can't live here any longer. Then life here on earth will be unbearable for you. If all sin will be removed and all the inclinations to sin be removed, when there will be no sin left, you couldn't continue living here on this earth. And there were having people who were so filled with the love of God, and they stayed in that love, and God's children would say, the Lord is going to take him. And that's what happened. A healthy person taken away. So why does the Lord God not immediately deliver from sin? Well, because life would be unbearable for us. Couldn't continue. We couldn't do our work. The Lord gives us tasks to perform, but we couldn't do those tasks. But there's also more to it. More. Why God does not deliver immediately. The Lord allows His people to grow in the knowledge of self and of sin. And connected to that, there is a growth in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this way, there will be a greater need for the Lord Jesus, an increasing value ascribed to the Lord Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus Christ will be more glorified. You become more needy, more dependent upon Him. Your life becomes Christ. And so the Lord Jesus will be honored and glorified. There's also another reason, I think, that the Lord wants His people to realize the distinction between this life of struggle and a life of full deliverance. There's life on earth and life in heaven. The fact that God's children still struggle with indwelling sin causes them to long more, increasingly, for the perfection which is in Christ Jesus in heaven. There's also another reason. And that is that God's people become dependent. Dependent. In their struggles against indwelling sin, in their grief because of the body of death, they become dependent upon the Lord more and more. They need Him to strengthen them, to support them, to lead them, to help them. They become poor and needy, and yet they are rich in the Lord, and they rejoice in the Lord because He is their refuge, their hope. And so they need God to be merciful to them. They need God to bless them with renewed strength. They need His face to shine upon them, for they need Christ alone. For in His strength they can stand, and by His loving kindness they are comforted, and by His wounds they are healed, and His blood is a medicine for their soul. They need to rest in Him, to believe in Him, to deny themselves more and more for Him. There needs to be a surrender of our life increasingly to Him. And the deliverance will amount ultimately to the full deliverance when the Lord says the course is finished. There will be no more time. You are now translated into My immediate presence. And then to see Him as He is, because we will be changed then after His image in 1 John 3. Because seeing the Lord Jesus Christ will have as its effect to be changed after His image. And that's the deliverance. That's what God's children do not yet see. It's behind the curtain of death to be led into perfection. And that's why Paul said, it's better for me to depart and to be with Christ. That is by far the best. Then sin will stay behind, and the old man will stay behind, and the body of death will no longer harass us. And then they will be perfectly filled with love to Christ. And they will be then fully focused, without spot or stain, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there will be no more complaints about a body of death, but there will only be rejoicing. Thou hast redeemed us unto God by Thy blood. And then everything within them will glorify and honor God. That is the full deliverance. Amen.